The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, January 20th, 2022. It is the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod Division Round, live from the D, our headquarters. Quite the crowd once again here at the D as we do this 9:30 a.m. Pacific. On my left, the Vice President of Operations at Circus Sports, Derek Stevens, Conciliary, and of course, half of the Odds On show, along with Amal Shaw at VSiN. It's Michael Palm. Hello, Michael.
Good morning.
Did you enjoy your sausage McMuffin with egg and hash brown?
Delicious.
Oh, yeah. Bad form.
I didn't know Chris was going to be here.
What does that have to do with Chris? I come every time.
That might be my last meal. Like if I'm, you know, pick your last meal, it could be a sausage McMuffin with egg and hash browns.
It's my go-to order in the morning.
Yeah.
That's the voice of Las Vegas, Chris. Multiple handicapping contest winner here in Las Vegas at the Palms, at the Wynn back in the day. College football, last man standing in 2016. Second and fifth in Circa, not this year, but last year. Then this year had the nerve to chop for NFL last man standing at stations. Glad to have you here, man. Thanks for doing this again.
It's good to be here. It's good to get out of the house and see people.
Did I get your whole resume down? Did I get that pretty much all of it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Todd Wishnev from his mom's Cork Attic in Pittsburgh, PA. How you doing, Toddy? Todd.
Hey. So if I'm in Vegas at the end of March, is your Achilles going to be good enough to play tennis finally?
Hell yeah, it will be.
Okay, there will be lines available. And all I will say, folks, is no matter how much they inflate the lines on me versus my good friend Mikey and Gilly, still lay the chalk.
I haven't played in 2 years, so there you go. That's the issue with that. So wait, I have a question for Mikey and Todd before, and Chris, forgive me for going to the board here. But what did we do with division round? Did we still give three picks? Is that what we did last year?
So I don't know what we did, but I'm suggesting we go down to two.
I would agree with that. Let's go to two picks this week.
Says the leader.
No, I'm the leader.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
But Mikey, I don't think he's doing that to run out the clock.
Oh, I don't know if you. You ask Mikey. What's the password here?
Who knows?
Why don't you say it on the podcast? Everybody knows.
Mikey, if that's the case, he's just trying to run out the clock. We should increase it to six picks.
I'm thinking eight. You got to give a side and total on every game.
Yeah, if we go down to two, I'm your winner, by the way. I have the best record of the bunch.
What about next week?
Oh, they're still – I mean, but you guys can't catch me at this point, can you?
For what? I'm one game behind.
You're one game behind.
You went 0-2-1. I went 3-0.
Yeah, but weren't you like distance behind?
Wait a second.
I made up two and a half games, so I must have been 3.5 games behind.
So we'll go to what are we doing?
Two picks is fine.
Okay. And the teaser, what's the teaser? We're very close on. Well, first of all, give all the standings then, Todd.
Okay, so Mikey is 27-29-1.
Can we do this in order of like a normal person lists?
He always goes to the middle.
Which kills me.
Okay, you were 28-28-1.
Oh, man.
Mikey is 27-29-1.
Oh, my God.
So he's one game behind.
What the hell happened
there? I am 23-34, so I'm out of it.
Teasers. You're like in the Felica range.
Now I'm feeling better about my season.
Chris, I had to go off of them. Otherwise, I had no way to come back.
Oh, I understand.
Is that what happened?
Good strategy.
And then the teasers?
I was a solid 50-40 in my millions. In the teasers, I was. Why? If it's 50-40 bad, Mikey? What, is that bad?
No.
Okay, so why do you gotta just, whatever. Okay, teasers. Right now, the records are me, 11-8, and the two losers, 10-8-1.
Two losers, a half game back now, all of a sudden.
10-8-1. Michael Palm and Gilly the Iceman, who are very condescending. Anyways, that's what it is. And teasers is very important, obviously, and that's why I'm leaving.
All right, so Chris, before we give our thoughts on divisional round games, you just indicated right there that you did not have the greatest football season ever. Is it fair to say that it just got real squirrely this year with COVID and with late injury reports? What would you say was the difference this year? Or can you even define such a thing?
Oh, I was really unhappy for a while, and now I've started to realize I should be happy that I'm just hovering around even. I was actually up, and then I had a 1-3 last week, and now I'm like right around even, you know, trying to hold my head above water. But whatever could go wrong seems to have gone wrong this year. I mean, you have to take coin toss games with stride. I got a lot of breaks last year, and I said that all along. If you don't get lucky, you can't have seasons like that. But it's the inverse this year. So I'm, you know, it's just awful in that respect. But that's okay. It's, you know, hey, that's part of gambling. You take that in stride. You don't piss and moan about it. And you don't whine about it. And but I've fought against that, and I believe the metrics are not following suit. In most cases, the entire season, I'm seeing an inverse of generally people that don't fare well in NFL having a lot more success. I think the books had far more bad weekends than in years past, and it's an anomaly.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I can live with that. If this is going to be my worst season in years, and I can still be up for the year, I can live with that, because variance is hard to fight. I mean, some people's, you know, bad season this year is really bad.
And Roxy Roxborough still said out loud in public, he goes, I thought, you know, I used to say that no one could beat the NFL, but Las Vegas Chris may have proven me wrong. Ugh. So there it is. That's all you need
to
know.
Also remember, any 100 picks is such a small sample size.
It is.
People think 100 picks is a lot of picks. It's nothing.
No.
Try 1,000 picks. Then you start to get into some.
That's right.
100 picks is absolutely nothing. So you've got to, you know.
You're 100%
even
right.
Even Mikey's stellar 27-29-1 is not a lot of picks.
Even your 23-34, not a lot of picks.
Yes, that one too.
Not a lot
of
picks.
By the way, I had my best NFL in-game season this year. So, again, I caution you folks, especially in these playoff games, be careful. And if you wait till the in-game, you have such a better chance.
All right. So, that being said, we're doing two pre-flops per person. NFL divisional round. After a wild card weekend where four of the six games were completely done by halftime, just four absolute clunkers, a fifth game, the Bengals and the Raiders, that was marred by, I'll use the word again, clunky officiating. Mikey, I know you can appreciate that kind of thing. And then the only other game that was, you know, the only other game, San Francisco-Dallas, that was fun. Obviously gaffes on both sides of Kyle Shanahan and Mike McCarthy, famously. But that was the one game that really sort of played out nicely. But that was a tough week to get through. We're going to, you know, I don't want to complain too much because we're going to pine for football here in a couple weeks. But that was a tough weekend. But at least what it might have done by getting rid of the stinky teams, talking about Philly and Pittsburgh and Arizona and the Eagles. No, who else? What was the fourth team?
Patriots. If you're going by results.
Patriots by results. Well, they weren't. You know what? They weren't. If you power ranked them, they weren't in my top eight either. I think we have the right eight teams. I think these are the best eight teams in football. You don't think so?
No, I want to pose this question.
Yes.
If you had to go one way or the other, and Todd, you can answer this first, would you rather see an eight-team playoff where nobody gets a bye, or go back to the six-team format where the 1 and 2 seeds get a bye?
I like the six teams better. I mean, no, okay, let me put it this way. The better in me likes more games. Obviously, more games, more opportunities in game. The fan in me likes the six games better. I don't like this extra game. Remember, in the six-game format, we had the Seattle Seahawks in the Saints game. Didn't they have like a 7-8-1 record or some ridiculous record? They got in the playoffs as the sixth seed and won that game. I like a six-team playoff. I always go for less playoff teams than more playoff. And I think if baseball makes the mistakes and opens up their playoffs to more teams,
stop
it is just going to be, you know, ridiculous. And you know, well, anyways, it's totally uninteresting sport. Thank God you can bet on it. But if you, if more playoffs for me is always bad. I don't like.
I think Todd answered that perfectly.
I do as well.
I think you, everything you said about being a better, yes. But from a fan's perspective, and it makes sense intuitively, right? If you get 3-6-4-5 matchups, you will have better football games. To expand it to a seventh team, which is just on the edge of having half the teams in your conference in the playoffs, you are bound to get 2-7 games that are awful. And none of us believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Philadelphia Eagles were playoff teams. Like, when we think of a NFL team that is worthy of the playoffs, those teams don't leap off the page. And with apologies to the Patriots and the Cardinals, who also put up clunkers, but I think we all think that the Patriots and Cardinals were vastly better teams, by and large, than the Eagles and the Steelers were. Now, will it work out perfectly that cleanly where the seventh seed is so much worse than the sixth each and every year? Probably not. But remember, if the Niners don't come back from 17 points against the Rams in Week 18, we're subjected to not only the Eagles, but also the Saints as well. So I'm totally with Todd's answer. I think it's perfectly answered. You?
That's why I suggested. I don't like the seven teams. I think it's diluted the playoffs.
Do you agree with
me? I'll tell you what. I don't even like the 17th week of football. I mean, I like it. Again, I like it for betting. But it's too many games.
So, okay.
It's just too many games.
I've said this in different ways all year. Don't you feel like adding the 17th game in some way triggered NFL teams, not necessarily to go into load management, but that it almost mentally triggered something where they were like, you know what? We can't go full throttle on all these games. I use the Bills in his example. You're nodding, Chris.
Oh, yeah. I think we're due for a change in strategy. You know, we're obviously going to see an 18th game. We can't avoid that. They should have just done it all at once. And I think you're going to have these teams start to have two quarterbacks and learn how to play with two quarterbacks. You can't keep a quarterback healthy for, you know, 18 games plus playoffs.
Which would completely change the sport as we know it, right?
Well, it's going to change it. And, you know, I don't understand why these teams are – I mean, there's nothing wrong with having two decent quarterbacks. And I think teams that can get a great backup and actually play them intentionally every now and then and give their quarterback some time off, I think they're going to be at an advantage. You know, Tampa Bay's plan was probably going to be that if they didn't, you know, hit so many injuries throughout the season. I think that you would have seen them sitting like the Lakers and the Nets do in basketball.
The Bills are a great example, Todd. Sorry to jump on you, but your point is great, which is that I lost my Survivor play on the Bills playing the Jags. The Jags beat them 9-6. Then remember the Bills' first performance in that wind swirl game against the Patriots where Josh Allen didn't even run. Like, they refused to run Josh Allen that entire game. If they run him five times, they probably win that game, you know, every time they do that. And you think about that Buffalo Bills team versus the one that we saw here last week, there's nothing even relatable about those two outfits. And so I just think that that's new to us. I absolutely agree with you that the 17th game is too much. I think it did something to the fiber of the league, not to be too dramatic about it.
It's 6% more football. I mean, think about that. If it was a baseball season, would that be another 12 games? We'd have a 174-game season. Or if it was an NBA basketball season, it'd be an additional, what, six more games? It'd be at 88 games. It's a tremendous amount more, you know, it's too much.
Why would it be 12 games? It's 6 times 162. It's not even 10.
No, it's 6%, isn't it?
Is 6%. Yeah. One game divided by 17.
Right, so 6% of 162.
One game divided by 16. Yeah, so that's...
It's not 12.
It's 11.
No, it's not 10%.
No, it's not either. It's not 10
either. It's 11. 10% is 16, Mikey.
Yeah.
It's 11.
1.6. Yeah, he's right. Todd is right.
What are you talking about?
No, Todd is right.
10% is 16, so 5% is 8.
No, if you add 1...
And 6% is about 11 or 12. It's about 10, 10 and a half, whatever.
It's not 12.
No, no.
Okay, sorry for making it... It's three quarters. I made it 7.5%.
It's upsetting to me because you're all about math and charisma.
Okay. Sorry, 10.6. 10.6.
Charisma is hard. Charismatic, I believe it's called.
Charismatic.
Yeah. Wait.
Yo, can I ask a follow-up
please,
question?
Please, of course.
Because remember...
And I have another follow-up that I want to ask you.
See,
guys.
This is what Chris loves when we don't get to the picks. Yeah.
I want Chris's opinion. Yeah. I want Chris's opinion on this, too, because I bet you he has an opinion.
I remember you saying that you used Buffalo against Jacksonville because you thought they were Fugazi.
I thought, who was Fugazi?
Buffalo.
Buffalo. That's
and you
correct.
Wanted to get him out of the
I
way because they're not,
the
and you thought
that's
that
exactly
was the
right.
spot.
Yes.
Have you changed your opinion on that?
No, I think I was, I think I'm correct. Buffalo has had the easiest schedule in football. Like, they have played, if you go through it, this also gets back to my Tennessee Titans point, which I think I made this morning on a numbers game, which I think is the biggest sort of not talked about enough story in football this year. Like, if Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl first year away from New England was the big story in football last year, I think if Tennessee wins this week, if they lose this week, different story. But if they win and at least get to their championship game, I think the biggest underrated story in football is the Tennessee Titans being the number one seed. This relates back to the Buffalo question. And the fact that the market still hates them is a fascinating point to me, because I don't remember a number one seed that has been this disrespected. Because usually if a team like this, and by the way, there's only one team that gets a bye right now these days. The fact that Tennessee ended up with a number one seed, if people underrate them, usually the knock is, oh, well, they didn't play anybody. No, in fact, they not only played everybody, they beat everybody, right? They beat Buffalo, they beat San Francisco, they beat the Colts twice, they beat the Rams, they beat the Chiefs. And then the other knock would be like, oh, well, maybe the teams they played had all the injuries. No, it was Tennessee who had all the injuries, right? They had their best player was out 9 weeks, and their second best player was out 4 weeks. And I think so. And that's I think, how people – it's a fascinating story that people still hate on them, hate market-wise, whereas Buffalo now, currently at the moment, people love, but they played nobody. I think it's the most interesting thing about the NFL this year.
Why do you say they played nobody?
Look at their strength of schedule. It's one of the worst.
Okay, let's look.
30,
let's,
they went to Tennessee.
Rated.
They lost at Tennessee. Yeah. They went to Kansas City.
No, I know, but when we put it collectively.
Because the Jets are so bad.
Yeah, because they played the Jets twice.
The Dolphins were almost a .500 team.
I'm just doing the math.
Tampa Bay. They played Tampa Bay. They played Indianapolis, obviously. They played Tennessee. They played Kansas City. They played the very vaunted Woofties in week three.
I'm saying who they beat, though, right?
I'm joking. The Woofies are not very good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they beat a couple good teams.
You understand the point.
Yeah, I understand the point. I just don't think that I would say they had the easiest schedule in the league.
Well, someone on the show today said they did have a 30-second strength schedule.
They do, but I think strength of schedule is completely overrated in
depending
the NFL.
Depending on how you grade it,
How can you factor – you have to factor in when you played each team. And that's
who was playing quarterback that game.
And who was playing and what their situation was. And then if you try to tell me that a bad team playing their best game is factored in if you played in that situation, the same as when you play a good team playing an off game that they didn't show up on, how do you factor and quantify that?
No, there's no question that it's not a clean stat, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying I just find that because Mike started with the Buffalo Fugazi thing. I made the point before. The team that played Jacksonville and the team that played the first game against New England doesn't look anything like this team now. Now it looks like if they just, they commit to Josh Allen doing what he does, he's impossible to defend.
Will the Bills, if they beat the Chiefs and Tennessee beats Cincinnati, be a road favorite in the AFC Championship?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Gets back to the point I'm making. Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because this is something I see all the time, and you can actually take advantage of this in-game, and I want to know if you guys look at this. A couple years ago on a numbers game, I mentioned that teams would start to get smart about not getting a first down and goal at the 9 or 10-yard line. There's all kinds of data to show it's much harder to get a touchdown on first and goal from the 9 or 10 than it is from first and goal from the 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I am noticing this more and more because when you have a team you need to score and the guy gets tackled at the 10-yard line, I immediately go, damn, we're not going to get a touchdown.
Me too.
Right? Because,
me too.
Because it's first and goal at the 10. You're going to make some stupid play to the 6. And then it's three plays to get it in from the 6. It's a disaster.
The second and goal running play from the 8 always kills me.
It's so brutal. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can actually take advantage of this in in-game because I don't think they're sophisticated enough to, like, let's say as the team is driving, they give them a 4.5 expected return on this drive. When they get first and goal at the 10 versus first and goal at the 4, I don't think they adjust it properly. So you can take advantage of this in-game.
Great
I don't
point.
Know
Great
what
point.
You guys think about this,
I
but I wanted to hear what you guys thought about it, because I am always of the opinion when I don't want them to score, please don't be first. Please don't be first and goal from the four.
I agree 1,000%. But the only other thing I remember about our conversations on the numbers game about it, though, is that Todd thought the teams would get hip to it and try to, like, game.
Go at it. Like, if you're
playing differently.
Justin Jefferson has the ball and he's running at like the 20 and he sees an opening,
that's the
like,
part
he'll
I disagree
go out
with.
Of bounds at the 15. No, I know they won't do it, Gilly, because you're probably right. They're not smart enough to think that through.
That's
but if they were really, really, really smart, you would think that they would do that so that they could get a first down at the 16 to give them a better chance. Is that not crazy? I think it's much more important than people give it credit for.
Todd, I think the rules committee should take a look at a rule where if there's pass interference in the end zone and a team has the ball at the 30-yard line or further out, they have the option of first and goal at the 10 or half the distance. The team would rather have first and 10 at the 15 than first and goal at the 10.
You know what I thought you were going to say? When they fumble the ball out of the end zone instead of doing the stupid thing where it's turned to possession.
No, wait, are you joking, Mikey, about that? Or do you not see this
no,
issue?
What
about
would you rather have? If you were the head coach, would you take first and 10?
Oh, first and goal at the 15, for sure.
First
I'd
and 10.
I'd much rather have first and goal at the first and 10 at the 15 than first and goal at the 10. Yeah. I'd much rather have it. What do you guys think?
Todd, you're on fire. I agree with everything. You agree?
I agree.
Yeah. I agree completely. It's one. And you, by the way, never one time in any broadcast in the history of pro or college football
has anybody ever made this point.
Not once.
Well, that's why I'm not an announcer.
That's exactly why you're not hired.
They're against fat people, and they won't put me on, even though I have these great insights. But here, the real truth is, as soon as my guy gets tackled first and goal at the 10, I'm about to cry. You know, I know I'm in trouble. It's unbelievable.
Todd, I have the exact same thought in my head. I'm like, oh, this isn't going to go well.
Todd, at what point do we start with the picks?
Right now.
Oh.
We barely started the podcast because of Todd.
I thought, Mikey, you can make fun, but I thought this was some insightful discussions. Even what you had to say, I thought was quite
even.
Insightful.
Yes, right. Even.
Because you're going to take shots at me, Mikey.
I'm coming right back at you.
He's never going to shut up. We have four games. Two on Saturday, two on Sunday. So we've decided collectively, I believe we have, that we're reducing it to two best bets.
Yes.
Because go to three is nonsense. So two best bets. Las Vegas, Chris, your first of two.
Well, I'm completely unprepared here.
That's okay. It's all right. Whatever you got.
What do we have on Saturday? You know what I like? I like
Was this like a pop-up podcast on your...
You don't understand what my life's like without my BlackBerry. I feel naked.
He forgot his BlackBerry today.
Yeah. Just awful.
It was plain.
Are you kidding, Chris? That you still have, you know.
Of course I have a BlackBerry.
Do you want us to go around and get back to you?
No, I'm okay. On Saturday, I like...
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat. We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
San Francisco, it actually looks too easy. It really does. I realize that San Francisco's been on the road for a bunch, and I like the way that they rebounded after they left it all on the table to get into the playoffs, because if they were going to have a letdown spot, it was going to be last week. Obviously, we have to worry about the three key injuries in the game, but it looks like, for the most part, they're headed in. Metrically, we all know Green Bay sort of in that Tennessee category of always overperforming their metrics. And it kind of just, I've said it before, Green Bay plays football games like I shoot pool, where, you know, I goof around until I can make the balls or until I have to do something. And then I do it. So I look like crap, and I perform like crap. And then if I get an opening, I take the opening. So it seems like that's how Green Bay plays. And San Francisco rates higher than Green Bay on my metrics. And giving them 6 points in a game like this, I mean, with the coaching they have, with Samuel and Kittle, they haven't even been using Kittle lately. You know, he's been a nothing burger. I just think
these worried about Jimmy G, Chris? Are you worried about Jimmy G's injuries?
Yeah, of course I am. But, you know, it's not like you're you know, obviously, you know, if Fields has to go in there, at least he's had some success. He's got some time in there. And he's not going to be completely virgin to the situation. But I just think 6 points is just, you know, ridiculous in this matchup, especially with how many times Green Bay just lets people hang around. You know, they had a lot of close calls this season, and I just don't think that they I think San Francisco is good enough to stay with them. They should be running the ball down their throat the entire game. And I know San Francisco's secondary is vulnerable, but I just see that 6 points is going to make the difference, and it's not going to surprise me to see San Francisco win. But, you know, primarily this is based on my metrics, which, you know, I use 55 different inputs on it. So I'm not going to pull out, you know, a handful of stats at any time and say, well, they're number one in this, number two in this, because, you know, I like to merge them all together, and I think it's a culmination of a lot of things. So that's my feelings on that game.
So San Francisco plus the six. Six, Todd? Yes, six.
Yeah, six.
And we're still waiting to hear, as Chris said, on Bosa, on Warner. Jimmy G's got the injuries. Mikey, what's your first?
Can I give my second?
Sure.
Because it's the same as Chris.
Okay.
This is the 49ers. We've, on our show, Odds On, sort of revolutionized VSiN in that we do a segment where Amal guesses the lines. And for
nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that at all. That's good stuff, Mike.
Well, some might copy it now. But for divisional weekend,
yeah,
almost like no hyperbole.
Amal guessed 3.5 for this game as the number. And I didn't think he was that far off. I knew it already, though. You know, I knew what the number.
So did I, by the way. So yeah. Felica E and I had this thing. Well, while the Niners were beating the Cowboys, Felica said 3. Mm-hmm. I said, no, it's 3.5 or 4. He said 4.5, and then when the injuries started coming, we're like, oh, we got to throw this out the window. Yeah. But yes, to give the difference.
In 1998, in her self-titled debut solo album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, the first track released was Everything is Everything, which really described the Cowboys and 49ers game in Dallas on Sunday. Everything you expected happened. The 49ers had a creative, effective running game. Dak performed small on a big stage. Jimmy G turned the ball over at a critical time. And Mark McCarthy's game management reared its ugly head. Everything you would have predicted happened. The 49ers absolutely dominated the game. If he hits Ayuk, they win by 3 touchdowns, right? And I think that...
And if he doesn't throw that pick...
That sort of shook his confidence. But I look at it this way. Here's how I analyze this game. On that day where we celebrate the Carpenter's son's birth, Cleveland went into Green Bay, and despite 4 Baker Mayfield interceptions,
you're talking about the Jewish Carpenter or the Jewish
prophet? Had a chance. Well, a minor prophet had a chance to win that game. Now, tell me this, Todd, and I'll ask you: would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Jimmy G?
Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Would you rather have the Cleveland running game or the 49er running game?
Push.
Would you rather have the Cleveland defense or the 49ers defense?
Niners.
49ers.
I don't think you can argue. You could argue the first two are a push, maybe Jimmy G and Baker. But look, I think they're a much better team, and Cleveland, by all rights, should have won that game. Green Bay's been unimpressive down the stretch. I think it's way too many points. I'll take the 6.
He'll take the 6.
And it's sliding down to 5.5.
We just went to 5.5.
Can I jump in and give my number 2?
Absolutely.
I'm on the San Francisco 49ers plus 6. This defies when we have 3 people agreeing on the same game, it gets ugly here. But for all the reasons stated, and yes, I know about the injuries, and if that turned here towards the end of the week, then obviously that would be an issue. But just based on what we're just talking about, the guesses of the line during that game, this is too much. It's just too many points for a Packers team that, by the way, you brought up the Cleveland Browns. That last game of the regular season where Baker Mayfield threw the pick to Rasul Douglas, it was his fourth pick of the game, and Green Bay held on to beat Cleveland. The image of Aaron Rodgers standing on that sideline watching helplessly to see how that game played out, and you thought to yourself at the time, who are the teams in this league built to beat the Packers, specifically also at Lambeau? They're all in the AFC except for one, right? Indianapolis, Cleveland, Tennessee. Big running games. The only team in the NFC was the Niners. Another reason why the Niners coming back in Week 18 to beat the Rams was everything for these postseason. So San Francisco, for this postseason, San Francisco is my number two. Dad?
Okay, I'm going to go with the under in that game. Under 47 in that game as my second pick. I'll just start with that game also like you guys did. I like under 47 in Green Bay and San Francisco. Green Bay plays, from what I'm told, the slowest pace in the NFL, meaning, you know, they take the longest time before they snap the ball. I think the Niners also are going to want to protect Jimmy with all his injuries and try to slow the game down. Also, I was really impressed. Look, I like the Niners defense all year, but I really liked what they did going into Dallas. I think they'll be able to slow Aaron Rodgers down a little bit. And, you know, 47 still a decent amount of points in an NFL game. I'll take under 47, you know, 26-20, and you're in final. And you get the W. I just think that there's going to be a lot of running in this game and a slow-paced game. I don't think they're going to let Jimmy just throw it all over the field, knowing that he can blow up in you know, at any moment.
Chris, number two for you, sir.
Why do I have to go again?
Oh, you don't want to go again?
No, I'm debating on my number two.
All right,
two.
Mikey and I want to see if we match on one and two. You want me to go first, or you want to go first for number one?
Well, you have the lead, so I have it written down already, so I'm not changing anything.
I got the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, we match.
One. There
we go. We match.
That's my guy.
I think this is
-3.
This might be as big a mismatch in this round as I thought Tampa and Philly was in the first round.
It's wow. Oh, that's saying something.
Yeah.
I honestly think, you know, we've come to say also that home field advantage doesn't mean as much in the NFL as it used to. We quantified it at 3 points back in the day. Now it's less. I actually think we sort of get away from that in the playoffs a little bit. I think home field still matters in the playoffs. And I think the return of Derrick Henry, despite the fact that I had Ed Feng from the Power Rank on a numbers game yesterday, and he talked about how – did you hear that conversation?
I did.
He talked about how Dante Foreman's average per carry and his yards after contact are relatively the same. And I just push back on something like that. And I had Jeff Schwartz on this morning, and as a former offensive lineman, he just talked about it. He goes, yeah, we block the same, but knowing that you have this guy that can just break one at any given moment, there's just a different mindset to it all. I think the Titans, again, dovetailing back to the earlier comments, I think they are the most criminally underrated thing going. I think the Bengals, I love the Bengals. Look, who doesn't love Joe Burrow? But I do think they're a year away. And while watching that Raiders-Bengals game last week, I started to think to myself, I don't know if I would mind the Titans playing this. I have Titans futures. I don't know if I would mind the Titans playing this Bengals team. I think the Titans defense is going to really rise up. I think Derrick Henry is going to gain a ridiculous amount of yards in this game, and I think the Titans are going to quietly dominate. I think it's going to be the most ho-hum game of the weekend, and I think the Titans win going away.
And by the way, Gilly, did you know that in the last 8 games, Cincinnati has only played one legitimate road game?
Yes.
All the other 6 games were at home. One game was at Cleveland where they didn't try, so throw that one in the garbage. The only game that was on the road in that entire series of the last 8 games was
Denver.
At Denver, mm-hmm. where they squeaked it out because of the last second first half field goal when Fangio messed it up, and they end up winning 15-10. So all this pro Bengals thought process is based on a lot of home games.
Gil, when you were away, I asked the question of Todd and Frank Schwab, because I think this game features the only two viable Coach of the Year candidates.
I do.
Who
too.
You would vote for if you had a vote? To me, it's not really close.
I don't think it's close.
I think it's Vrabel, and
really
it's not.
I do too. I've always said it's who he overcame all those injuries, got the number one seed, and I get it. That the Bengals from preseason numbers overperform more than anybody.
I said to Frank Schwab, well, what about the argument the Bengals were 25-1 to win their division? He said, so they were mispriced. What does that have to do with Coach of the Year?
It's a great point.
Yeah.
Well, and Vrabel's mother is Japanese, so that's another
thing. Vrabel's married to a girl that was a year behind me in high school.
Really?
She was one of the best volleyball players in the country, and she got a scholarship to Ohio State, and that's where they met, Jen Boleyn. But they have a terrific family.
Anne Boleyn? He married Anne Boleyn?
Jen Boleyn.
Oh, I thought you said Anne Boleyn.
Not Anne Boleyn.
Sorry. Okay. Chris, you want to go?
Are you ready?
Todd?
Are you ready, Chris? We'll let you know what the other three games are if you want.
Todd, Todd,
I'll give you
number two.
No, we're only doing two, Mike. You're only doing two.
Yeah, I know, but
I'm joking.
You're Todd, too quick again for him.
Todd, well, I'll pick a different game. You know what? I'll go with the Rams here. Okay,
that would have been my number three.
I don't like the way Tampa Bay is basically backed in. You know, on my metrics, Tampa Bay played a pretty easy schedule for the last quarter of the season, and they still rank near the bottom. I have them 30th over that time period on my metrics. And, meanwhile, you've got the Rams, which they haven't been top 10 during that time period, but they have shown some improvement. I worry about their inconsistencies and stuff, but, you know, when you look at Tampa Bay from last year, they weren't expected to run the table.
They got so lucky.
They benefited from a lot of luck. I believe they were plus 11 or 12.
The fumble by Cook across the middle, and they don't win that game. They're out.
And the Jedi mind trick on Matt LaFleur. How did he lose that?
They were like plus 10 or 11 or 12 in the turnover ratio in the playoffs, just in that short little stretch. They got very, very lucky. And then everybody, you know, it's Brady this, Brady that. Oh, they're miracle workers. That team's not the same team. They're missing a lot of players. And they're dinged up. They're not in any decent form. Remember last year, they went into with perfect form last year. So I have a future on them to win the NFC.
I do too.
So, and I don't think it's going to win. But and I think we get a little extra value just with the Brady cover 60% aura. How many times are we going to hear it this week? You can't bet against Brady. How can you bet against Brady? Well, because I'm getting an extra couple of points because people like you keep saying that. So now I worry about Stafford, whether he's always hiding injuries, and he had a good game last game, but they're balanced. You know, they're running the ball more. They're not relying on the pass as much, and they're just very balanced. And I think it's a perfect spot for them to be able to win. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have my data, but you know, they covered last year in Tampa Bay. They beat them up. Didn't they beat them up already this season?
Week three, they beat them 38-28 right. In L.A.
So, you know, they match up okay. And you're not going to have any weather factors. You're not going to have any major rest factors. I just think the Rams actually have the tools to give the Lions a lower draft picks.
Oh,
and beat Tampa Bay.
Do you think, and I'll ask Gil this as well, since he says the Rams are his third pick, do you think they can run the ball, though, against Tampa?
No.
To me, this becomes a referendum on Stafford.
I was just going
to
quote you because I heard you on the wave this morning. Yeah. You said it's a referendum on Stafford. Yeah, it probably is. Probably is a referendum on Stafford. By the way, Jeff Schwartz was on this morning. His entire analysis, he goes, don't bet against Brady. That was his entire analysis on this game. A lot of people.
He also said the Steelers' offensive line was okay.
He also said he's tired of listening to you and he wants to go home when he was on this podcast.
That's fine. He can get annoyed for no reason. That's fine with me.
Adam Chernoff is here, by the way. So let's wrap up your second pick. We'll get Adam in here for the answers to all of these questions. Todd, what's your number two?
This is actually number one.
Number one.
Rams was going to be my number. That was going to be my number three pick. I'm not going to take. I couldn't agree more with what Chris said. I think there's something wrong with this Buccaneers team. The only thing I'd be afraid of is Stafford, and that's the question. But my number one pick is going to be the under in the Bengals-Titans game. Under 47.5. Is that what you have, Gil?
Under 47.5, I believe. Yes, let me check.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Under 47.5 in the Titans-Bengals game. As I was mentioning, the Bengals have done all this positive stuff. Six out of the seven games when they tried were all at home. The one game, as I said before, that they weren't at home was at Denver, and they barely were life and death to win that game. I just didn't like the fact that they were settling for all those field goals. I think Tennessee will be able to hold them to a lot of field goals as well. Of course, it's going to be Derrick Henry to the left, Derrick Henry to the right, Derrick Henry to the middle. So that will give us a lot of running. So I'm going to go under 47.5 in the Titans-Bengals in my number one pick.
All right. Let's bring Adam Chernoff in, everybody. Adam, back on the show from Canada. Where in Canada are you, in Alberta?
Yeah, west of Calgary in the cold of mid-January winter.
How cold is it?
What's the temperature?
Minus 18 Celsius.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually nice. So,
what is that in Fahrenheit?
Close to the same, I think.
What is that?
I think
it is about the same.
9.5.
What is that in Kelvin, Adam? What is that in Kelvin? What do you got there? Minus 18 is the
you got me on that one.
Conversion. Let's do a conversion on minus 18. Yeah, my girlfriend lives in Toronto. She's Canadian. I tell her what the temperature is, and she goes, I have no idea what that means.
Did she go back?
It's not pleasant no matter what scale you use.
Yeah, it's just
pretty
cold.
Pretty rough.
Adam is the senior strategist for covers, 14 years in NFL bookmaking, which, by the way, is a fascinating background, which we've never really gotten into on the show, which we should one day.
I saw that on Twitter. Are you talking about when he went to Costa Rica?
Yeah, like I didn't know any of these stories about you, Adam.
These are some
fascinating
good stuff, Adam.
Yeah, you
keep... It was a weird 8 to 10 years bouncing around the Caribbean, but we ended up in a good spot.
And you guys, you, Las Vegas Chris and Adam, you two do a podcast together for Covers, which is called...
It was Covers Contest Weekly, but I'll be honest, I'm here for you guys, because I got a text from Chris yesterday. All it said was, you are a hack, and that was it. That was the extent of the text. So I'm here for you three.
Thank you.
LVC and I have some discussion to have about a game here that are opposing sides of.
You said Westgate was the first to go to 4 on Cincinnati on 2 different shows.
Called you a hack.
And Circa was at 4. Circa was the first.
Going to 4 first.
Is this what your guys' podcast is like?
It is.
You go after each other?
Kind of the extent of it.
And Adam, of course, does the simple handicap as well, which is his bread and butter year-round. You doing golf again this year, Adam?
I've given up on trying to beat golf.
Really?
I know who wins at it. I know how they win at it. And I don't have the energy to try and compete anymore.
Wow.
I'm getting old.
Ooh, could you expand on that? That's fascinating. Not the who, the how.
Well, okay, so there's one source of information that's like a well-respected model that's publicly posted Sunday night. And for years, it's been like that, but now it's become very popular. And books have caught on to it too, because there's now an agreement between the site and the book where there's lines that are displayed on site. And so it's like an 8 to 10 minute race Sunday night to beat any lines that move relative to that model. And then on Tuesday evening, there is a sports book that for years has posted golf matchups. But now they're doing it, and that's become kind of widely known as well. And so it's just a race to beat that. So for me, I'm looking at golf this year as you're either in that race trying to compete to get your numbers before anyone else gets them, or those models move the prices. Or you're trying to figure out where that model and that sports book are wrong and going against it the other way, but I don't have a way to do that either. And so last year I was just betting into numbers that were just getting destroyed, and it just became very hard to compete. So now with other
stuff
going on in
life, I'm kind of taking
a step back. Have you ever tried
calling the hotel room at 3 o'clock in the morning to go against the golfer that you're going against, you know, like wake him up in the middle of the night or something? Would that work?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a story when we were dealing with the COVID stuff and the tour shut down, but we had the Outlaw Tour going, it was very easy to call the courses in Arizona that they were playing at. And like, they were just willing to talk for 10, 15 minutes. So there was a lot of really good stuff that was coming directly from the courses on like who was there, who was practicing. Who
like John Rahm has
and
diarrhea
you just,
today.
I was just calling pro
like
shops
that.
With nothing to do all day.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. well, that was very fascinating. I'm fascinated by that. I'd actually like to bend your ear about that elsewhere. And what I like about that, though, also, Adam, is what's not being spoken here is just a recognition that sometimes it ain't worth it, right? And that sometimes you know when you're beat kind of thing. Not when you're beat, but you know that it's not worth it to you to expend the resources on trying to beat something that's sort of gamed, if you will.
I second that.
Exact same thing happened to me 6-7 years ago with in-play women's tennis. I was huge into it. And then it just, one season you could tell that like, okay, this is going away. And it was just, when you know, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Who appears on more podcasts weekly? Adam or Drew?
I'm going to say Drew.
Drew's
everywhere. I think so too. Yeah, Drew's everywhere. Drew is everywhere. That's not a knock on Adam.
No. Yeah. But they're both prolific.
Prolific.
Well, Adam has the indoor record for Alberta, I believe. the indoor, not the outdoor. He does not hold the outdoor.
Well, where's Adam going? He's not going outside to do stuff, apparently.
Yeah, well, that's why
we're locked. Yeah.
Shut it. Gil, the conversion is -0.5 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh my goodness! Thank you.
So below zero.
Wow. Wow.
I'll tell you the interesting thing about Drew before we continue bashing the cold.
Yeah, please.
In like 2015, 2016, there was a huge group chat of like a lot of people that are now like on shows or they've got their own like network deals or anything that have sort of progressed. And like he was in there, I was in there. There were other people that we've all seen on shows too. And it's weird. I like everybody kind of knew each other before there was really like a content space around betting. And everyone's just kind of like progressed in their own direction. And so like it's amazing to see what he does and how much success he's had. But it's fun to remember like we all kind of started together in like a spot. But Gil, your show has been around for 11, 12 years. Like very much you've been one of the pioneers in that. So it's like fun. Everything's kind of coming together now.
It's so great to think about how it's all evolved. Was your chat, was that tennis heavy back in the day? I think Drew told me it was, wasn't it? Or is that a different thing? A
lot of tennis, a lot of football, and just like a lot of different like betting insights that were coming. It was a lot sort of fueled offshore, obviously, at the time. But now with like it's kind of evolved and everyone went their other direction once things became regulated. But
I want to compliment you and Drew both since we're talking about both of you in tandem before we get to your picks here because we want to hear your top two picks. But the thing that I think makes both of you so great, if I may, is that here's the thing with most sports bettors. They're either really bad, that's first one thing, right? Or they're so, you know, I don't know what the word is, but they're so wrapped up in their sports betting world that they're incapable of communicating what they do. They're just very sort of, not Asperger's-y, but just they're a certain type of person that is not, their strength is not communication. You and Drew are sharp bettors who really can communicate on a level that doesn't speak down to people, that doesn't sound like you're too above brow. And I just, the highest compliment I can give is that you're able to do that. So kudos to you on that, man.
No, he does it. He does it as well as anybody. So I completely agree there.
We want to hear your picks, Adam, more than anything. Your top pick divisional round this week. What do you got?
Well, I went Niners at 6 this morning. I was kind of stuck a lot of the week, but I like San Francisco quite a bit. I can't justify that number being that big. And the only way that I could get there is if I'm putting a lot of value into the first round buy, a lot of value into going on the road for San Francisco into Lambeau and home field advantage and what that might equate to. Because it seems like the injury report in general for San Francisco right now is a lot more positive than what we saw sort of Monday morning, Tuesday morning, where like this was a number that really realistically should have been 4. And the only reason we're up to 6 now is because of those, like the assumed impact of those injuries, which I think will be less than we ever thought it was earlier in the week. And so I was pretty happy to take 6. Obviously, if there's a setback for Garoppolo, this bet is dead. But
that's right.
If he plays and is healthy, which I think he will be enough to maneuver this offense and just this matchup they have on the ground against the Packers defense. So I just think it's too many points.
That makes, what is that, four of us now on the Niners?
Yeah.
Todd, were you on the Niners? You stayed away from that.
No,
game.
No, he had totals.
I stayed away from it. I just figured to give something different because I'm way behind anyways.
That's four of us on the Niners plus the points.
Todd, you're mathematically eliminated. You're not way behind.
Okay. I'm sorry that you're mathematically eliminated. You got me, Mikey. You got me. You're going to be mathematically eliminated.
I'd like to point out your Circa Million 3 entry did go 50 and 40, though.
Thank you, Mikey.
How much did he win on that?
Yeah. And anyways,
what does that do, though? What does that do for the Raj Bodies and the Trip Teppers? What does that do for them? They need winners on this podcast.
The Raj Bodies and the Trip Teppers. We love Raj Body and we love Trip Tepper.
And they love Todd.
Who does not? Well, some people do. Adam.
Look, I've told you not to bet pregame in the NFL. Even you guys with your stellar 27-29-1 record would not have shown a profit, my friend. In-game is where it's at in the National Football
League. Excuse me, I'm 28-28.
I was talking to Mike's filthy mouth, not yours.
How dare you shortchange me. Adam, what do you like besides that? What's your number two?
So I think we have to go Titans Bengals here and get that discussion out. I obviously missed what you guys might have got into with that. Am I allowed to give out a prop, or is that against the rules?
You're allowed to do whatever you want. It won't count as your number two, but you're allowed to give that out too.
Okay. So another bet that I got into this morning was Julio over 45 receiving yards, 45 and a half. And the reason being because the Henry return. So we've heard kind of in the last 12 hours, 16 hours, that he's sort of going to be capped out at 15 touches. That's kind of the limit that they're putting on him. So there's still going to be like usage for Foreman. But with how similar they are, I think the actual biggest impact that Henry's going to have returning is how much he's going to open up the Titans passing game. There was 11% of snaps this season for the Titans were played with Brown, Julio, and Henry on the field. And Tannehill had like 9.5 yards per attempt relative to just over 5 without them. So I actually think it's a big passing game opportunity for Tennessee overall. And so with kind of this front 7 for Cincinnati banged up, they're not really going to be able to cheat. So that kind of limits them in the middle. And it's going to put defensive backs for Cincinnati kind of on a bit of an island behind that first level of the defense. So obviously it's going to be a sellout to stop Brown. Julio is going to get really soft coverage because of that. So I think it's going to be a big game for Jones. But I'm also intrigued by the Titans as well, although where the number is now, I don't love it. And this is where Chris and I were disagreeing when it was coming to where the number is and where it might ultimately be going. So if I had to give a second bet that wasn't the prop, I would be looking at Tennessee.
There we go. Tennessee. So you, me, and Mikey, same exact two picks. Although we had Tennessee first, San Francisco second. And the Julio Jones thing is interesting, Adam, because I got Ed Fang from the Power Rank was on a numbers game yesterday, and he was talking about how he thought that Tennessee was way overrated and that Dante Foreman's rushing yards and runs after contact are kind of the same as Derrick Henry's. And I pushed back on it. I love Ed. Ed's my guy. But I pushed back on it, and I just said, This is sort of the moment where analytics goes overboard to me, right? Like, I love analytics as much as the next guy, but it's sort of like, Todd, you'll appreciate this. I brought up the Dr. Bob thing when he said that Kevon Looney meant more to the Warriors than Klay Thompson did, right? It's sort of the Pootie Tang moment, if you're ever familiar with Chris Rock's character Pootie Tang, where the whole bit was Pootie Tang spoke in gibberish, and Chris Rock would ask him 3 consecutive questions. He would answer in gibberish, and Chris Rock would be like, yeah, no, I totally get it. And then Pootie Tang would speak the 4th answer in gibberish, too, and Chris Rock would be like, what? Motherfucker, what the fuck are you talking about? And he'd kick him off the show. And I felt like the Dr. Bob Kevon Looney thing and Ed saying that about Derrick Henry and Dante Foreman, that's the Pootie Tang moment to me. Where it's like, okay, there's clearly something in that number that doesn't capture the broader point of a team sport, right? It's different in tennis or in baseball, which is an individual sport disguised as a team sport, my opinion, where when there's too many moving parts, then it becomes a little more nebulous. And so I guess, Adam, what I'm with the Julio Jones thing, isn't that exactly it, that Derrick Henry somehow makes everything open up for Ryan Tannehill? It's one of the aspects anyway.
Yeah, this is not a bet on the Titans because Henry's going to be really successful and run for 200 yards. He might. We haven't seen him play in 9 weeks. I'm not discounting that. But every snap that he is on the field completely changes how teams have to defend this offense. And it just opens up so much in the pass. So that's exactly, I agree completely.
Do you think?
Yo, can I push back against you on your whole, on your thing? Well, go ahead and ask.
Yeah, no, but I was just going to say, do you think that they stick to the pitch count? Do you think that if Derrick Henry starts busting out runs, that they're going to stick to 15 carries if it's a tight game?
Ah, good question. He came out after the interview yesterday, and they're like, what's the biggest difference now versus earlier in the season? And he's like, well, I have a giant metal plate in my foot. So it's like, you hear that and you're like, it's not, like, he's not 100%. There's no way. And so
yeah,
it's hard to say, but like, if he's going wild, they might give him a few extra touches, but it just seems like his impact overall is a little bit overstated to what it actually means for the passing game of this offense, which I think is more important.
Todd, you were going to say?
I was just going to say that I sort of hear a little bit about what Ed Feng is saying. I understand what you're saying, and I don't discount what you're saying. I just think that in the running back is the one position where if you're the best running back, you're not that much better than every other great running back versus, say, receiver or quarterback. Meaning, let's say that the elite running backs are a 1.2 and the average running back's a 1. Derrick Henry, say, a 1.35. Whereas on the receivers, it might be, you know, the average receiver's a 1, the real good ones are a 1.2, and Cooper Kupp's a 1.6. My point is that running back just cannot, due to the fact that he's so... he depends so much on his line and his holes, the Najee Harris situation where he gets zero holes running. And if you have a good line, granted, Derek, I'm not taking away what you're saying, Gilly. I agree with what you're saying. I still think Derrick Henry is obviously a difference maker. I just think the amount of difference is not as much as in another position.
And I don't disagree with what you're saying. I do think there are exceptions to the rule. And I think in the case of Derrick Henry, you have a guy who has more potential to bust out long ones in a way that he actually is a sort of unicorn. I see you nodding at him.
Yeah, good, Todd, I agree completely. But, Gil, like you were saying, so it's like Henry's probably the exception now. Maybe Dalvin Cook to an extent. But then in the past, it was like when Zeke was like prime Zeke.
You mean when he could run?
Was sort of built around him. He was worth a lot more than an average running back ever used to be. And then it was like Adrian Peterson back with the Vikings 9-10 years ago, whatever it was now. That was kind of the exception. So there's always like,
Barry
in general,
Sanders,
I think that's exactly
exception.
Right. But there's always like one or two guys at the most the season for running back where the offense is just so built around what they do. In this case, it's the Titans with play action. It works with any running back. It doesn't matter who's back there. But for whatever, just that big playability Henry has just opens up play action that much more and how much the Titans depend on it. I think it's like the exception in the league right
now. Oh, no, I totally agree with what you're saying about making it more able to throw because the other team's going to key on Henry. But I just meant that – so I guess, yeah, to that extent, it helps the overall offense a lot, of course.
Yeah.
I want to ask we're not going to ask the normal two questions at the end, but I want to ask sort of three here at the end.
What about our teasers? We have to do our teasers.
Oh, our teasers of the week. Okay, yes, our teasers. I'm sorry. Thank you, Todd.
Todd goes first. Yo,
Todd, you go first because you have a half-game lead.
Mikey, what's the over-under? What's the over-under on how many times Gil will mess up the format in a 20-week Megapod season? Will he mess up the format more than 12.5 or less than 12.5? I put it about 12.5.
I would go with 10.5.
I do too much.
Every other week. Every other week.
I have no brain anymore. Yeah. I really
don't. I'll take the over. I mean, you don't work enough. I mean, you're only on the air a couple times a day. That's it. So whatever.
So you're first, anyways. Todd, because we're going to beat
I'll go with the teaser. I'll go with the teaser of the Buff Bills plus the 8.5, I believe, is what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. You know, just for the obvious reasons why you would want that. I also think the Bills can hang with them. And I'm also going to go with the Rams because I did like the Rams as my third pick. I am the only thing that I'm afraid of is, of course, is Stafford. But if I can get 9 points with the Rams, I'm less afraid. I do think, and I thought all the last 8 weeks, there's something wrong with the Bucs.
You went with
so
the,
give me Bills plus 8.5, Rams plus 9.
You went with the traditional John Ferguson teaser there.
Oh, yeah, I've got to hold my half-game lead.
They stand for a long teaser. Mikey?
The real name usage. I like it.
Yeah. The traditional John Ferguson, who apparently was in San Diego, we're told. Mikey, you want to do yours first?
Yeah, I'm forced to use game theory here as we got down to the end.
So I'm going to adjust.
I'm going to go 49ers, and I'm going to tease through the zero with the Titans.
Oh!
Because I'm already on the Rams, and I'm on the Chiefs.
Okay.
So I have to catch up. Chris, I have to catch up. I only have I have two picks, and I'm a half behind. I have to catch up with them.
I'm going to
have
zero.
Niners plus 12.
I have to.
Plus 12 and
it's game theory here.
Game theory, you can't.
You're right.
Yes,
you're Adam. And what Adam said is so true.
What?
Don't say that on Twitter. It's very true. Oh, the shit you'll get.
I already tweeted that.
You know, I'm all
I had
set,
a tweet on
I'm
that.
I'm all set it on our show that he teases through zero in real life.
Oh, does
well,
he?
He got
bullied.
Well,
and
he should
well,
be suspended.
He should be suspended.
You imagine suspended from the network for a
no,
day.
No, that's equal to a DUI.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're a player, that's equal to a DUI. Or
get him out of there.
Something.
What would the Jewish carpenter do? Would he tease through zero, Mikey?
No. He turned over the money changers' tables. No gambling.
Chris, what's
your Niners plus 12, Titans plus 2.5?
I should give mine for the purposes of our contest. I'm doing Rams.
Really? Can I confirm, Mikey, for 1 second so I write it down properly? Niners plus 12, Titans plus 2.5, Mikey,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, now go ahead, Gilly. The stenographer needs to get it down. Go ahead.
Todd, don't give the impression that I'm the one that interrupts here, please. for impressing the guests.
I just wanted to get it correct.
No, I understand. I'm going to go Rams-Niners. Rams-Niners.
Rams plus 9 and Niners plus 12.
Chris,
you know, last year I came up with a different way of doing the teasers with the three pointers, right? Because there was no teaser that week, so there's no teaser for me this week. But what I like to do, what I've started to do, is I start with a multi-purpose teaser. So I have a specific purpose. If I've got two different games starting at two different times, I'm using that value into something else. So let's just say we'll probably get a 4 or 4.5 on Tennessee, the way everybody loves Tennessee. You know, if you can get over that 10.5, if you can get to like 10.5 on that, and you were going to bet Cincinnati anyway, why bet plus 4? Bet the, you know, take it over that 10 and treat that as an isolated wager into something else that you already know you're going to bet that you haven't bet later on. If you like Green Bay, bet, you know, and it's 6. The line's plummeting as we speak. It's down to 5. But if it's 6, take Green Bay pick into something you're betting already on Sunday. And I try to use the teasers like that. But you know, just on two teams by themselves, obviously I would take Buffalo and the Rams. But I don't like marrying. I think teasers are becoming a lot more difficult.
As shown by our records.
But I think that they can be valuable if you're using them for different purposes. If you've got one standalone game, like on the Thursday night games during the regular season, if you can move that into the Saturday, Sunday, or Monday game, that's the way you use it. You make a full unit, and you can split it up. Let's just say, you know, if you're $100 better, you put four different bets into four, you know, you put one, you know, one major bet into the first game, and then you spread it out amongst other games you're playing, you know, later on at a different point, because it gives you a bailout too. It gives you the options to middle, get off the game. It gets you extra points. They're just flexible. And I think the same thing bodes well with parlays also.
And you can do that actually with the alternate lines now.
Yeah.
In a lot of the legal jurisdictions, you know, once in a while I'll mess around with like plus 11.5 in one game, where I'm getting 9 points in one game, I'm getting 5.5 in another game, and mix and match them together in essentially creating your own custom made teaser.
And that, you know, that's another thing I'd like to say about Buffalo Kansas City. That's a game where I want to see what the alternate lines are. You know, that game could be all over the place, so you might find some good value there.
If you're betting Buffalo Kansas City on the line, aren't you just an action junkie at this point?
Probably, because I don't know how you predict. You know, Buffalo's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Kansas City's more steady Eddie, but I think I could see more variance. I mean, you just don't know what's going to go there.
Adam, what's your favorite teaser if you were forced to bet one?
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ew. I forced a bet when you probably have to go same as what Chris said, Buffalo, L.A., just numbers-wise, but I'm not running to bet that one. Buffalo. But like you said, like that, the variance in that Buffalo-KC game, that can go so many different directions.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, I do want to get back to that teasing through the zero thing.
Yes.
Because I don't know whether people realize it. You're better off seeking out the alternate plus 3.5 line rather than teasing through the zero. You're going to actually pay a better price just betting that side, that direction. And another reason to remember why you don't do it, every single number you go through, 2, 1, 0, 1, 2, all five of those numbers are all – less valuable than every single number you go through in a Wong teaser.
That's
so think about it. You're losing equity every single number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of equity when it adds up.
And the other way to and the other way to think about it is if you think about people who tease in other sports, how those numbers are not as valuable as key numbers in the NFL. And so what you're doing teasing through the zero is reducing the importance of teasing in the NFL, right?
If you were playing in a contest and it was a teaser contest, and you had 2 weeks left, and you were trailing by a game.
Oh, no, but you didn't.
I'm going to ask you about this. But you handicapped that you think Tennessee is better by 8, and this line is 4, right? And so you're on Tennessee in life. But you have to tease this game through game theory. Are you better off to tease against what you handicapped the game and take Cincinnati up to 10 than going through the zero?
Well, I'm going with what – if I'm secure with my handicapping, I have to go with handicapping.
Right, correct. Okay.
All right. Here, so let's do rapid-fire last three questions. Right. One, we'll just go around the horn here. If you had to bet a side in each of these three of the four, but one that you hated the most, that game is?
Kansas City. We all agreed.
Kansas City.
Yeah. We all agree.
Everybody
that.
Believes that? Adam, you too? Okay.
Yeah.
We all agree.
100%.
Okay. Next question. Rank for me from most likely to least likely the dogs winning outright. Chris, most likely to least likely.
Oh, I'm going to go with I'm going to go backward. I think Cincinnati is probably the least likely.
Okay.
And San Francisco, Buffalo, the Rams. I think the Rams are the most likely dog to win.
Okay, so Rams.
So Rams, Buffalo, San Francisco, Cincinnati.
Bills, Rams, San Francisco, Cincinnati.
Todd?
I think the Rams are the most likely to win as a dog, and then Cincinnati's least likely, I would say.
Adam?
Bills, Niners, Rams, Bengals.
Hmm. Bills, Niners, Rams, Bengals. I will
most
go.
Most likely to least likely.
Yeah, I will go Rams, Bills, Niners, Bengals. Okay, and then the final question. Let's do that little guessing lines thing, Mike, for the championship games.
Yeah.
And you guys can just call these out. If Tennessee hosts Kansas City, the line will be? Assuming
no injuries.
Wouldn't
it depend on how they look, though?
It will. Obviously, there are caveats, right? But let's just say it. Nothing crazy happens. There's no slam dunk blowout. Let's just say it's kind of close to form and there's no major injuries. Just play along, Toddy. Tennessee hosting Kansas City would be what? Kansas City's favored, right? By how much?
2.5.
2.5. Interesting.
One.
I say pick them.
Really? Some people think Kansas City be favored by more than 3.
I don't.
You know, Tennessee did win 27-3. The score was 27-3 when the two teams played each other. That has to mean something. I'm not saying it means a lot. It has to mean something. Doesn't mean anything?
If Kansas City, I think so. If Kansas City hosted Buffalo, what would that be? I mean, if Tennessee hosted Buffalo.
Hey, you skipped over me.
Oh, sorry, Tennessee. I'm sorry. I thought you were like.
I'm going to say 3.
3? Oh, you will say 3.
I will say 3.
There's my 3.
He's the some people.
He's my 3.
Who are they and what they say?
They.
Bernie Horowitz.
Bernie Horowitz. If Tennessee hosts Buffalo, what's that line?
1.
Chris.
Buffalo 1, I'm saying.
Yeah. Chris. Man of the people.
What it will be less than 3. 2. I'll say 2.
Todd.
I want to go less than 7.
I think it's also right around a pick.
Adam.
I mean, all these games are going to be tight.
I tell you what, I make it close to a pick, but if the Bills beat Kansas City, everyone's going to want it. It'll be adjusted up. It'll be 2.5.
Buffalo's minus 2, and it could hit 3.
All right, and if Kansas City or Buffalo hosted Cincinnati, what are those numbers? Kansas City and Buffalo both together, what would they be? Kansas City would be?
6.5.
I'm going to say 7.
Okay, I say 6.5.
You said 7 too, Adam? Buffalo would,
I'm with you, 7.
And Buffalo, would, or what do you say Kansas City would be?
It would be a 7 even.
Todd?
I even say maybe 7.5.
And Buffalo hosting Cincinnati would be?
6.
Yeah, a little less. 6, I'll say.
6.5.
Yeah, 6.5.
I'm with all you guys on
that. All right, NFC, last thing. Green Bay hosts the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because that whole Brady wave is going to be the narrative still. They got by the Rams.
2.5.
I want to take Green Bay right now. Can I bet a Green Bay in the look ahead?
2.5.
I'll take Green Bay right now.
Chris, 2.5 you like? You think?
Yeah, I think that's where it will be.
What about if it's the Rams?
3.5.
Through the 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Chris, you got a thought?
I think that is 3.
I do too.
And the Packers will crush the Rams at home.
Oh, you got another way.
And the last one will be if the Niners travel. Sorry to bother you. If the Niners travel to Tampa Bay, what will that be? And then the Niners traveling to the Rams. What will both of those be?
What about Florida State against North Florida in college basketball in-game?
The Ospreys.
Right now. Ospreys.
Niners get 3 at Tampa Bay, get 2.5 in L.A.
Okay. About right.
Florida State's up 72-56.
Yeah, good numbers.
Good numbers. Okay. You like that, Chris? Yeah.
Can I say one thing? And that this
in closing.
And I have
sir.
To run.
Yeah.
I was sitting talking to Matt Metcalf in the book Friday. About the national championship game.
Why don't you tell the people who that is, Mikey? People don't know who that is. Tell them.
He has a role in the sports book here at Circa.
Runs the sports book.
He said if Georgia had Saban as their head coach and Alabama had Kirby.
Oh, wow.
He'd have made that game 13.5.
Come on.
I'm just telling you.
Wow. 13.5.
Yeah. That's how much better Georgia was talent-wise.
You know what
Alabama.
The name of that? You know what the name of that segment should be? Hyperbole.
You think so?
Yes. 13.5.
Dude, what about the insurance salesman who played
quarterback? He's not saying the market would tolerate. He's just saying that's what his true number on the game would be.
Wow.
Got to run. Thanks,
Mike
Adam.
Palm.
Thanks, Chris.
Odds on. Mike.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
I think we've done all we can do, gentlemen. There we go. We got all our picks. Thank you, Adam, for coming after your shows. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for doing that.
Of course.
Staley,
I think you forgot to do your CBA MVP special.
See, Todd is alluding to. Todd hates more than anything when we have segments on the network. Doesn't have to be my show. I do less of it than everybody else does. Todd hates when we devote entire segments to awards markets. He hates that.
I hate it too. I do. I shut it off.
Well, it's because Giannis this year, you know, he wiped his tuchus 3 times this year. And that obviously, everyone knows that the more you wipe your tuchus, the more chances you have this year. So it's like ridiculous.
But you have to understand that we have to fill a bajillion hours of content.
Well, I understand.
I don't know how you manage talk about schedule and still stay fresh. It's very impressive.
Oh, I'm about to die, Adam. No, I'm not fresh. Okay. Yeah, content-wise, maybe fresh, but I'm about to die. Yes. I leave everything out on the table, then I go home and I go into a fetal position in the corner of my apartment.
By the way, before we leave, can I just ask you, Adam, aside from golf that you feel like is unbeatable because of that,
yes,
what other sports, throw out the NFL because we all know how hard that is, what other sport would you like take a look at it and go, wait, too much, I can't do this, it's too hard for me? What would you say? Besides golf that you said is basically just a race.
Yeah, I got you. I just because of how I operate and how I anything that's like really heavily model driven, and I know most of it is, but like if you take something like I was saying, the WTA in play specifically, so like 5-6 years ago, like you would take like someone like Anna Ivanovic for example, who was just deadly when she was down a set, like one of the best comeback players ever, and like that was always super underpriced and not accounted for. And then a lot of data started coming out, and like that disappeared immediately. And so there were like a lot of those really good, like subjective angles in tennis, especially in play, that you could bet a lot of. And now, like, most of those are completely gone. So, like,
wait,
that's
so
an example of one where there was, and now it's getting really difficult. So, like, tennis would be one for me personally. A lot of other people still have success. Gil, you have a ton, but it's just for how I approach it, I find tennis now really tough. I would say hockey is another one that with like the last 3 to 4 years with like the advanced stats that have come in and expected goals is just brutal. And then it's not like the Premier League and like bigger soccer leagues were ever beatable. Like those kind of were always the most difficult, but now you're seeing that ripple effect into like smaller country domestic leagues too, where it went from like, you could have just like a really basic like knowledge at like a player level, and just based on lineups and sourcing news in a lot of these smaller domestic leagues, you could find advantages just knowing like 20 to 30 key players and valuing if they're in and out. That's all completely gone now too, because you can do so much at a player level and do it so quickly that it's so difficult to compete with that now as well.
Geez, Adam, when you put it that way, do you ever have thoughts in your head ever like, I got to hang, like, I don't ever, I think there might be a shelf life to all of this?
Oh, every day.
Yeah, yeah. It's like what they did. There was an article on the New York Times about how AI is destroying poker because AI has now taught poker players to play the optimum strategy in poker. And I think really what Adam is saying, that's kind of leaking over now into the more information that's out there into these sports, make them more and more unbeatable.
Well, so a good story. I had Matthew Davidow, who I'm sure you guys know.
Yep.
I was chatting with him on the Daily Show we're doing now. And we were talking about like in-play markets in the NFL. And we got into the win game specifically, the Buffalo-New England game. And I was asking him, and I was like, how quickly did it take you to adjust to what was actually going on the field? Because he's writing the programs that set the prices for Circa and other books and stuff. And he's like, we adjusted to it very quickly. But then I was asking him, and I was like, what's your biggest weakness in a spot like that? And he's like, it wasn't the wind direction or the teams going or adjusting for the quarter prices or anything like that. But he's like, it was actually, it took the longest to adjust to the Mac Jones in-play completion prop because it was just so far out there that you couldn't get to a number and justify that price. And so when we were going back and forth, he's like, it's getting to the point, and kind of what I was saying with golf, where it's like there are these models that are out there and you have to figure out like where they're going to be wrong or what the weakness is rather than like trying to find angles within the games. But so like in a case like that, it's like here's this event where it's like there's the win game and it's completely altering everything that's going on. But there are like there's the main event that everyone focuses on. It's windy. I'm going to bet the under. Like that gets priced in right away. But when you like the ripples that come from that, where you're going to like, okay, there's the wind, which means it's going to be under. Well, then there's the quarter prices. Well, then there's the field goal props. Well, then there's, and you have to go so far out now to where it's like, well, actually the wind is going to impact all of this, but I'm going to bet under completions on this quarterback because of it. And that's where like these pricing models are becoming the weakest. And so that's where you kind of have to hunt now. But it's just, it's so hard to like creatively think to get to that level, which in something like golf, it's brutal.
But Adam, I still think in football, sometimes because they have to be wedded to the pregame number so much, and because there's not that many games that the modeling is taking into account, there are games that are just off. Like, for instance, the Rams-Arizona Cardinal game. It didn't matter what they're going to make it. If you see that early enough, you can catch it. Like, if you can recognize that this game is not the way it was supposed to be, I still think there are edges in the in-game football. I mean, I don't know what you guys think.
I think there is, too. I think a case like that, though, is, like, if you look at the pregame scenario, I think there's a lack of data on a team leading by 21-0 in that dominating of a fashion at home to, like, accurately set that number. Whereas, like,
that's hard.
What's that?
That's hard. But I mean, in that scenario, I would look more at team totals. Is Arizona going to score 2 touchdowns or more? Because, like, for instance, in that game, I had under 17.5, because I noticed pretty quickly after like 2 or 3 series, Kyler Murray can't move the ball. I'll take under 17.5. Now, did that mean I was going to win? Not for sure, because it all comes down to the garbage time. You have to be able to notice, are they going into prevent? Because once they're going to prevent, you got to get back on the over of your team total. You know what I mean? So you have to watch. It's like the Steeler game against Kansas City. When Kansas City was trying on defense, they could have stopped the Steelers for 100 years in a row. But as soon as the Kansas City got ahead by enough, you're like, oh, now they're going to let the Steelers score. And that's exactly what happened. I think any of us who watches football could see that Kansas City went into a massive prevent defense once they got ahead 28-7. And I feel like that's where the edges are in realizing, okay, how has the game fundamentally shifted just now?
Well, it's interesting because, okay, I think you're right, but just showing how people think about this differently. So in that scenario, Monday night, I went Rams team total over in the second half because to me, like a fundamental difference in playoffs versus the regular season, which I think is tough to price in play, is that teams don't stop playing on offense as much as they do in the regular season. And so I think we see a stark difference of like the Bills or the Chiefs or the Rams, they kept scoring. They didn't stop. There was still, the Rams were running throwback passes in the middle of the third quarter up 3 scores. You're not seeing that regular season. But like where you went to that angle of looking at the team under or going the other way because of the prevent defense, like my head went the other way where it's like, well, this team's going to keep scoring and it's betting on a team that you maybe not, you're not making that bet in the regular season.
Yeah, and let me interject because that's an interesting sort of nuanced conversation where, Todd, you're talking about recognizing defenses and there's a difference of opinion even there in terms of how a team will play it, playoffs, regular season. What about something much more defined? Like in a baseball game, a blowout baseball game, where they've run out of pitchers and they throw in a skill position player to go on the mound. Those in-game totals don't appear to me anyway to adjust.
They're getting better, though, Gilly.
They're getting better. Absolutely getting better.
It used to be, by the way, they were totally terrible. And we would go on seventh inning watch of the book and be like, look out, a position player could be coming at any time. Careful.
The amount of texts that get thrown around in those moments were amazing. But like that to me is okay. That to me is a much less debatable thing, right? That to everybody gets. Oh, this guy is not here to pitch. This could get ugly. Now we've seen some times where they've been successful and it's always amusing. But largely, you immediately go and you're like, this is over. Like this is not adjusted as much as it should. And they're getting. I think it's a great example of it's getting better, but it's like to your point, Todd, earlier. It's like you can't really adjust something like that enough, can you? Maybe you can.
Sometimes you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about football is like Wake Forest played Army this year in college football. I don't know if you guys watched that game, but it was so obvious that there is no number possible based off the original number that can be right. BYU Virginia was another game just like that. Every single drive was a touchdown, and it wasn't even hard touchdown. It was like pass for 12 yards, pass for 25 yards, pass for 12 yards. You know, it was so ridiculous, and they still have to be wedded. Now, they can adjust it up a little bit, but if there's 3/4 of the game left and the game was a 60, there's only 45 more points that they can move. Now, can they bump it to 48? Sure, they can make it 48, but they can't make it 58. And that's what they should have done in some of those games. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And that's where I think there's advantages, you know, especially also in the team totaling. If you see, I won so much this year, especially against college teams, team total under, recognizing early after two or three sets, this team's averaging 1.5 yards a play. They're done. And the other team is not going to let them get more than two touchdowns. You could get over 14.5. You almost have to take the under 14.5 in that scenario. You know what I mean? And of course, there's things that can beat you, the 2-point conversion. There's different things that can hurt you. But I really feel there's angles there.
Yeah.
And that's like, if you're talking like a new bettor who's just starting now, like they're never going to have the same experiences that were here 8, 9, 10. It's gone forever.
Yeah.
And so it's like, where do you start now? Aside from having the obvious, like as many books as you can, as many prices, compare, get the best number. It's like, find the games with the situation that's like the outlier and that's weird, where something's going on that gives you kind of like these fringe ripple scenarios off of some event that changes the game, because that's where you're going to find value in today's betting world.
And even then, it's right, there's still no guarantees. There was, you know, Arena Sabalenka last night. I was on air, so I didn't get, I wasn't part of this. But apparently she had the yips with her serve in the first set last night, and people were going nuts, like, oh my God, she can't put in a serve. She lost the first set 6-1. And then, of course, she, like, you know, she regrouped and she won the match. So I'm sure a lot of people lost their shirt on that, too, you know, thinking, oh, this
is... Well, you can't win them all.
No, but that's my point, right? Yeah, even then, with all the advantages we might be able to identify, the gig is you're not going to win them all, right? That's it. It could still come back and hurt you in a bet that you weren't even going to make in the first place, so...
Say you put yourself in like an average bettor's shoes who's like trying to do that.
Yes.
And it's like, so they go and they bet a season of NFL. And like, really, when you're betting the NFL in an average bettor's shoes, like you feel completely out of control. Like you don't know what you're betting on. But like what you just described, if like more people looked for that and bet on things like that, like that's the type of bet and scenario and angle you remember for a long time.
Yes.
You feel that there's something like that you can actually like put value on, and at least it's something. Whereas so much of this team is 8-2 on Tuesdays, like all those trends. And it's so much more valuable to think like what you're saying is.
I'm glad you brought that up, Adam, because it triggers, and this is probably how we should end it, because it the trend thing. How many people in mainstream media or maybe in gambling media brought up the fact that the Arizona Cardinals were 8-1 on the road going into that game against the Rams, right?
Oh
like
God.
It was a thing. Everybody said, and then let me ask for your prediction. What percentage of those people that brought it up before the game never mentioned it once again afterwards? It's got to be 95% of them.
I'll take the over.
Yes, I'll take the over. That says everything. It's fascinating. So.
I do want to I do want to add, though, when you're talking about finding advantages, I think the sport that sticks out like a sore thumb with volatility and nuggets to be found is MMA. And I know MMA is not up people's wheelhouse in general, and quite frankly, I had no interest in it either. And but let me tell you that those markets are all over the place, and it'll close up, but it's going to take a while. There's just so many fights, and there's so much volatility. There's value to be found in there if you put your time in there.
Except if I get to the point where I have to bet MMA, I'm quitting gambling because I can't watch it. Agree with you 100%. I'm sure, Chris, there's tremendous value in it. But it's just like, it's just unwatchable for me. I just can't watch two human beings brutalizing each other. I would much rather they put helmets on and do it at the goal line. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Todd Wishdiff. Guys, I appreciate it. We got to run. Adam Chernoff from the Simple Handicap, doing all his stuff at covers. You said you have a daily show now too, Adam?
Yeah, we're experimenting with some stuff for the playoffs. So we just have, it's basically, it's described Chernoff and Friends, but it's titled Covers Daily. So I'm just having people on and chatting.
That's what Mikey calls a numbers game. He goes, Gill and Friends in the morning. So I take that very kindly. I like that actual. I think it was a knock, but I actually enjoy that. And then the one, and you and Chris do it every Thursday during NFL season. You do your football pod. So you're everywhere, man. everywhere.
Yeah, it got busy down the stretch. I'm waiting for three more weeks to go.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same way. Listen, by the way, I just want to say this. I am 100% grateful. It is the life I always wanted. So I don't want anybody to perceive that I'm in any way complaining. Las Vegas, Chris.
Chris, before we leave, Chris, do you play tennis?
I used to.
Okay, because you could come out and be part of our Las Vegas Invitational.
I might just do that. But, you know, racquetball ruined my tennis game.
Interesting.
When I was a kid, I played a lot of tennis, and I wasn't that bad. And then I played racquetball as, like, a teenager, and that ruined my tennis game. Hmm.
Maybe a conversation.
Yeah, you've got the headband hair.
He does. Seth, I could see he was a great 1970s top 10 tennis player.
And I had the tennis racket throwing down pat and the vulgarity.
Ilya Nastasi.
Oh, no, man.
You'd show up to the Invitational with a wooden racket.
Tube socks rolled up. It'd be awesome. Las Vegas wants to play me again in the end of March, and I made the line
11 and a half.
Hey, Todd, can I just wrap it up? And we can have this conversation?
Yeah, sure, wrap it up.
Las Vegas, Chris, thank you for being here. Multiple contest winner, always a contender in every contest, seems to find a way to win one every year. Todd Wishnev and his mom's Quirk Attic. Skill Alexander, thanks for listening. Best of luck, divisional round. Thanks for listening to the Megapod.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.